Jesus is our King of unfailing love. When he entered Jerusalem on Sunday of his last week, the crowd shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Scripture tells us that by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Thank you.
Unfailing love sums up our Savior's divine nature before his death. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, having loved his own who were in the world,
Son of man, facing the final hours of his life on earth.
He gathered his closest friends, his disciples, together in the upper room of the private dwelling.
They shared the Passover meal, and he gave them final instructions. There was so much to tell them. There was so much to remember.
Night had fallen. The celebration was ending. Jesus knew that his enemies were finally catching up with him and were plotting his death.
But he knew that this was all the part of the plan. He wanted to be alone and talk to his Father. So he went out to the garden called Gethsemane. There in grief and in fear, he knelt and wept and prayed.
Father, my soul is in such agony. I do not want to go through the pain I know is waiting for me. My flesh wants no part of it.
But Father, he said, I know you have sent me here for a purpose, that I become you among men. I was sent in hopes that all men would see me and then see you.
Yet, they are so blind, Father, so blinded by their own short-sighted expectations and selfish desires that they still cannot see you.
Finally, he prayed, Father, I love them so much that I will fulfill your purpose. I will surrender my flesh to you. On their behalf, I will die for them.
He was despised and he was rejected.
Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief.
He took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows.
He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities.
But his punishment would be our peace.
And his wounds would make us whole.
Though humiliated, Jesus was and is the mighty Son of God. Scripture says he was bound, but only once. Before his death, he bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, demanding that he be crucified. Calvary, God dealt a fatal blow to our sin by nailing it to the cross. Thank you.
sure all of you know, this is the night before Good Friday, it's called, when Jesus went to die on the cross for our sins. So I'd like for us just for a moment or two to think about the meaning of the cross, the mighty cross, if you will. And I want to share with you a scripture passage found in John chapter 12 and verses 23 through 26 and verse 32. And there Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Now Jesus spoke those words shortly before his death, and he was speaking there of his death on the cross. And I want us this evening to reflect for just a moment or two upon the subject of the mighty cross. Now, the cross is probably the most recognized symbol in the world, certainly the most recognized religious symbol. You see crosses everywhere, even in places where maybe they shouldn't be, because it's such a well-known symbol. But I think the fact that it's well-known doesn't mean that it's well understood. And I want to understand it better. I want to hopefully encourage you to also understand the power of the cross better. The cross where it's lifted up, has great power. Now, I'm not speaking about the power to cast out demons. You see that a lot in movies where they, hold a cross and supposedly the demons flee away. Now, I think that could happen, but not in the intrinsic symbol itself. It's what the cross means that is important, and we need to think about that meaning, because that is the place where our sins were dealt with and where Jesus paid the ultimate price for our redemption. Its power can be summarized by the words, and I want us to think about what that cross means. I want to suggest it means three things, three words. It means, first of all, surrender. Jesus said in that scripture passage, "If a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone," he said. And he was speaking there of his death. He was speaking of his surrender to that death. When I think of the cross, I think of surrender. Because Jesus, we're told in the Bible, came from the ivory palaces of heaven. And he came not to be a king in a palace, but he came to stretch out his hands and die for us on that old rugged cross. Now, I don't know whether you've seen the well-known movie, The Passion of the Christ. I would encourage you to see it. And I know it's not a movie that you want to watch over and over, because it's really difficult to watch. And I know there are those who say, well, we shouldn't focus on the death of Christ. We should focus instead upon the resurrection. And I agree that without the resurrection, that death really has no meaning for us. We need to think about his death because it reminds us of the great price that our Savior paid for our redemption, that he laid himself upon the cross willingly. He went to the cross willingly. The Bible says he was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And so that cross speaks to me of surrender. And it also speaks of my need to surrender to the one who surrendered his all for me. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. And then secondly, that cross means service. Because Jesus said here that if anyone will follow after me, let him, or come after me, let him serve me. If anyone will come after me, let him follow me. In chapter 12 and verse 23 and following, he talks about a seed falling into the ground. And then he says the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also my servant will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now that is what Jesus did. He served us. And the Bible paints a very beautiful picture of our Savior when on the night before his death, and he knew that he was going to the cross, yet he stooped down and washed his disciples' feet and showed by example what it means to be a servant of others. We're called to follow in his footsteps of service. So that cross means surrender. It means service, but it also means sacrifice. Because Jesus said here, "Now my heart is troubled." And his heart was troubled because he knew that he had come to the hour of his death. And he said, "I go willingly to that death on the cross." And he wants us to know that this was not just an accident. If you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that it's kind of, almost say depressing. It's not really depressing, but it's depressing without the New Testament, because it paints a picture of the need to have animal sacrifices, the need to have atonement for sin. But the New Testament makes it clear that those sacrifices of the Old Testament in the temple, you may be familiar with that, that these never could take away sin, but rather these pointed to that perfect sacrifice of Christ upon the cross for us. And Jesus said that if anyone would follow him, we must also take up our crosses daily and follow him. I believe that that happens the moment that you trust Jesus, that you realize that he died on that old rugged cross for you. And because of love for him and gratitude for what he did in dying for you on the cross, you take up your cross. You willingly identify with Jesus. And that means that you are willing to go wherever he wants you to go and to do what he wants you to do.